First off, I want to thank everyone for... I'm sorry? Yes, I'll try. Yeah, I can imagine. Okay. Thank you for coming here today, and I want to thank the Fellowship of Reason for inviting me here to share a little bit about my experience as a witness. For those of you that haven't met me yet, my name is Brandon Bartlett, and I was one of Jehovah's Witnesses, as a matter of fact, a very active witness for the first 30-something years of my life. I would like to spend a few minutes going over basically who I was, what it was like to be a witness, a little bit about the witnesses and their history, because most people only know the witnesses as those people that show up on your doorstep every Saturday trying to sell you some magazines. So I'd like to give you a little bit more information about who they are, where they came from, what it's like to be a witness, and then the process I went through of finding myself and realizing that the witnesses were not the thing for me, and the process of leaving that organization. I was born and raised in a family that was considered a pillar of the congregation. My father was an elder in the local congregation long before I was born, and he was very active not only at the local level but also at the regional and the national level in the organization. So I grew up in one of those significant families in that group. By the time I was 14, I had a lot of responsibilities in the congregation. I served as a ministerial servant during my 20s and 30s, which is basically an elder in training. And as you can see, I'm not going to go through all these details, but as you can see, as I grew up in the organization, I wound up being extremely active, just like my father was, both at the regional and national level. Jehovah's Witnesses, as far as their history goes, they were started in the late 1800s when there were a lot of different groups getting started, the Millerites, the Seventh-day Adventist movement, and others. It was started by a man named Charles Taze Russell. He owned a chain of clothing stores in the Pennsylvania and New York, and so he was a rather wealthy individual. He was dissatisfied with the way that the Methodists and the Baptists and the other religions that he'd grown up around taught the Bible. He had his own ideas about the right way to interpret certain things about Christian beliefs. So he started sharing that with other people in small little home-based Bible study groups. More and more people became interested in those groups. Those groups grew to multiple houses all over Pennsylvania and New York. So eventually, he threw his money into a corporation, set up the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society of Pennsylvania, bought printing machines and a facility, and started publishing the Watchtower magazine in the year 1879. that magazine's been published ever since. I won't go into a lot of detail on this either because we don't have a whole lot of time, but one of the things that most people know about the witnesses is the fact that they predicted the end of the world several times, and that is totally true. Thank goodness they were wrong each and every time. Initially, like the Millerites, they thought it was going to happen in the mid to late 1800s. They thought they'd figured out some Bible chronology and Bible prophecy that pointed at that time as Christ's second coming. But they never actually set a date in that period. Then they eventually set a date in 1913. A few years later, realized they made a math error, decided it was 1914 instead. When World War I started, they were all excited because they thought that meant, hey, that's proof that this is the end. It's all nigh. Obviously, they were wrong. Other dates, 1925, they thought World War II was it, and then for 2.5 decades, they preached that 1975 was absolutely it. Thank goodness they were wrong on that one, too, and I think that one was such a big pie in their face event that I think they learned their lesson, and they have not set a date since, although they keep saying that it's right around the corner. It's almost here. It's right around the corner. You better be prepared. But at least they're not setting dates anymore. And at the time I left, there were about 7.5 million active members around the world. I'm sure it's grown some since then, but I haven't really kept up. As far as their basic beliefs, they do believe that the Bible is the unerring, inspired Word of God. and they take interpretation of that document very literally, except for the parts that are obviously symbolic, like Revelation and Daniel and stuff like that. But everything else in it, they take is gospel truth, and is extremely literal. They don't believe that that God and Jesus are the same. They don't believe in the Trinity like most Protestant denominations do. They believe that they are completely separate individuals. They don't believe in an immortal soul like virtually every other Christian denomination does. They believe that when you die, that's it. You don't have some spirit inside you that floats off. And therefore, they don't believe in a burning hell either, where those souls would go to be eternally punished. Like I mentioned a minute ago, they do believe that Armageddon is real. They believe that it's the it's God's war to cleanse the earth of wickedness, and that it's right around the corner. They believe that they are the only true form of Christianity. As a matter of fact, they constantly refer to themselves as true Christians and everyone else as false Christians. And they collectively refer to their beliefs as the truth. Their conception of salvation is different from most. Most Christian denominations believe you simply your reward is go to heaven. They believe that only a small select group go to heaven, a group numbering 144,000. And these folks, these special folks, get to rule with Jesus Christ in his heavenly kingdom. Who do they get to rule over? Well, that's everybody else that was faithful. Everybody else's hope for the future is after Armageddon, getting to turn the earth, the cleansed earth, back into a paradise, just like what the Garden of Eden should have been. And they believe that everyone will grow back to those that survive Armageddon, plus those that are resurrected to that hope, will grow back to physical perfection and live perfectly healthy lives forever on a paradise earth. So it's not really a bad idea. It just happens to be not true. And of course, we all know they don't celebrate holidays. So that's just a quick overview. Of course, their doctrinal system is way more complex than that, but we obviously have limited time. I've also included in this, in the handout, just a brief summary of what a week in the life of a witness looks like. And I won't go through that in detail, other than if you want to just browse over it. It's easy to see that every day, as a matter of fact, pretty much every hour of every day, you're involved in some form of service to your religious beliefs. Basically, your belief system consumes and controls your entire life. It's really hard to describe in just a few minutes, but maybe if you look over that, you can see that every day you're doing something as far as your religion goes. You're either preparing for a meeting or attending a meeting, and so it's easy to see how well they are indoctrinated, because they are reading their organization's literature about the Bible multiple times every single day. So it is a constant program of indoctrination. Now, how did somebody like me, that was born and raised in what would be considered the cream of the crop as far as just families in an organization like that, and who became as active as I did, how did somebody like me leave? What's the process that I went through? Well, it all starts with doubts. As I became a teenager and began to think for myself, as all teenagers do, as your mind starts to develop, some of the teachings started making less and less sense. And obviously, in a supernatural belief system, there's going to be holes in their logic. There are going to be things in their belief system that are not rational. And so these things troubled me. But they're prepared for that. Their basic response when any member has doubts or expresses those doubts is pretty much to throw it back on you. Well, you're just not spiritually mature enough to understand that yet. Or even better, are you engaged in some secret sin? Are you in some secret wrongdoing that you haven't shared with the elders and gotten help for? And in that way, God has somehow taken some of his Holy Spirit away from you because he's displeased with your actions. And because of that, you are not understanding the light of the truth. And in the meantime, because you don't understand right now, just trust in Jehovah, trust in His chosen organization to lead you right. Now, for somebody that was born in like me and knew no other system of thought that works, as a matter of fact, it worked for almost 30 years with me and my doubts, and it works for some people their entire life, sad to say. Once I got into my 20s, my late 20s, the higher I got in the organization, the more active I got in its hierarchy, the more I saw things that really troubled me, because the way I was brought up and the way I was taught to view God's holy, one, true, chosen, clean organization was that these things didn't exist in that organization. They existed in all these other human institutions, but these things didn't happen here, which was political infighting, corruption, mismanagement of funds, or intentional misuse of donated funds, and various other forms of corruption that are inherent whenever you have a large group of fallible humans working on something together. That was extremely troubling to me. It really got me really disillusioned. And, of course, at that point, all those other doubts that I had over here started coming up as well. So, I decided, well, I can't do this. I really do believe this is, quote, the truth. I believe I'm in the right place. So I decided that I was going to sit down, really reinvigorate my study of the Bible and my study of witness literature, reprove to myself that this was the place I should be, and really reinvigorate my faith. Step one of that was going to be, for the first time in my life, this is my late 20s, first time in my life reading the Bible from one end to the other without stopping to research some little topic or other, but to just read the whole thing in one sitting. Well, not in one sitting, obviously, but at one time together. It took me about 3 or 4 months, and needless to say, that was the beginning of the end for my belief in the witness system. Because as I read this, you know, I had not only been brought up, but I had taught from the platform as a speaker all of their doctrinal issues. And their doctrines are based on their interpretation of various scriptures and various passages. Well, once I read those passages in context, not only the surrounding verses, but also the entire book that particular Bible writer wrote, it struck me how many of the things that I had taught that particular verse meant didn't really make sense anymore once I read all the context around it. And so that was extremely troubling. That caused me to start researching the history of how the witnesses came to the conclusions they did about how things were interpreted and how properly to understand the Bible. And that made it even worse, because I won't go into any details right now. You can always ask me after this, but there's a lot of crazy, messed up, weird stuff in the history of the witness organization and how it developed its leadership. Some of the goofy things they used to believe decades ago. It's really crazy. So all of these things just led me to where my belief system began collapsing, and my faith in that organization began collapsing. Thankfully, my wife at the time had started studying these same things with me, and we were fortunate enough to basically go through this process together. But that is really rare when it comes to witnesses. Usually it's one spouse or the other coming to this conclusion and leaving, and it usually destroys families. So thankfully we were able to leave together, but it was still an extremely emotional time. The process I'm describing really took 2, 3, 4 years to go through, and that entire time it was sleepless nights of study, prayer, crying, you know, it was extremely emotional, because again, my entire world view, my entire understanding of everything that was true and how the world works just crumbled. So where are you left, you know? And but thankfully that was the beginning of my ability to start thinking critically and thinking clearly about things. And again, that took a while. Eventually, our attendance at the meetings, our activities began to wane, and eventually we just weren't showing up at all. Of course, this raised red flags to everyone, especially the leadership. So we began to get counseling sessions. Elders would show up trying to help us out. eventually my wife and I came to the conclusion that we just need to be straightforward and upfront with everybody and just say, sorry, we just don't believe it anymore. So we sat down with our parents, my parents and her parents, let them know that, and that's pretty much when the shunning began, because witnesses practice shunning like some of the other religions do. That was also when the witch hunt began. because the two of us actually had been so active and so well known regionally, the elders began really dropping by and interrogating us, driving by and trying to find out what we were up to. Basically a police style investigation into us to try and find something that we had done wrong or immoral that they could use to officially kick us out of the organization, and that way save face, because you can't, they can't even grasp the concept that you could ever decide to leave. You have to have been doing something wrong that they can kick you out for. That really, at the time, really upset me, angered me that they were treating us this way and treating my wife this way and my family this way. So, in that anger, I wrote a letter to the World Headquarters, to their legal department, and also to the various bodies of elders of the different congregations that had been chasing after us and interrogating us, and threatened to sue them all for libel and slander if they announced anything publicly about kicking us out, because I did not want my family's reputation in the community to be sullied by their, you know, their accusations. It basically took 2 years for the legal department at the World Headquarters to figure out what to do with me and my wife. Eventually they did decide, though, and a special letter was read at multiple congregations in the Southeast, dozens, on the same night at the same time, which announced that my wife and I had disassociated ourselves from the organization by our words and our deeds. So, and that was the end of that. At that point, the shunning was absolutely official, and no one that I've had 30 years worth of history with all over the Southeast will have anything to do with us, including my parents and my siblings. They didn't even call me when my grandmother passed away. I had to find out from a cousin. So it's sort of silly. So anyway, at that point I was left with, well, the witness doctrine is all obviously wrong. What about the Bible? What about God? So I continued to do research, continued to study, do a lot of soul searching, did a lot of research into the history of the Bible and its translation, its writing, how it came down to us, eventually realized that it was not a product of a supernatural being, but it was just a product of religiously minded humans, just like every other religious text. So then I was left with, well, is there a God? And of course, that was a couple more years of soul searching and research, and eventually came to the conclusion that, well, there's not enough evidence of it, of there being one, for me to put any faith in it. So, and then, of course, what's next? Well, if there is no God, if the witnesses aren't right, the Bible's not right, there is no God, what's the right way to live? What should be your moral standards? What should be your ethics, your philosophy of life? And that's the process I'm in now. I'm a work in progress. I'm trying to figure out a life philosophy based on objective reality, rational thought, and logic. And interestingly enough, I was a few years ago introduced to Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged, and that was an extremely emotional event for me, because here it was in concrete written word what I had been trying to develop myself after having left a supernatural belief system. So I'm still studying some of her works and other philosophers, and trying to figure my way out through this adventure we call life. But I can tell you this, I'm way more happier, more fulfilled, more content in my life than I ever even dreamed of being as a witness under a supernatural belief system. And so I have nothing but hope for the future and for my future happiness. And again, I appreciate your time, taking the time to listen to my presentation. And again, if you have any questions whatsoever, I don't mind discussing this. Please.
What if you seem to need a personal philosophy, a moral standard? Where does that come from? What does that mean?
That's a good question. You know, as a witness, it was given to me. You have to have a
right.
standard
yeah,
to live by.
Right. Any longer, why do you need that?
I don't know.
Do you need to it?
That may be an element of it. I don't know. I mean, I think I've come to the realization that as social animals, there should be some form of standard by which we deal with one another. In other words, is there a right and a wrong?
Basic
right. Right. But I mean, as far as, you know, morals, even going into the political realm of nations versus nations, are there right ways of people, is there a right way and a wrong way for people to interact with one another? And that would come into morals and ethics.
And is there spiritual time that there isn't?
Possibly so. I don't know. Like I said, I'm a work in progress.
I'm trying to figure it out.
And that's where I'm headed. I mean, again, it all falls to me back to how should we treat one another fairly in social interactions.
True.
I've blown past the 20 minutes.
Thank you.